How are you doing?
Good. Doing well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Are the other guys on yet?
Nope.
All right. Be tough on us today. We've been bad stewards of your program lately.
Okay, so where have you fallen down?
I told Rob to be tough on us today.
No, Rob doesn't need to be tough on us today.
Have you been beaten up by somebody?
No, we've been lackluster and uninspired and taking the easy way out of this whole bloody process.
Okay, so what does that look like?
What does that look like? It looks like us doing the half-ass along the way, yeah. That's what it looks like.
Hey, I'm here. Good. Sir. Hello?
Yeah.
So,
Larry, you there?
Yes.
So, Rob, one of the concerns we're having, and this is your system with the call cycles has made us lazy somewhat. Like, I feel like we were talking to a lot of our clients more beforehand, and some of our clients haven't responded real well to the formal structure of the calls, and we probably have some massaging to do there. But I think also, like, for us, we've kind of become like, oh, we'll call whoever's on our call today, but then we're not going to make the other calls that we would normally make, or it's almost like we're on autopilot or whatever. Now, the table topics or the discussion points that we're covering each call, Larry's done a good job of that. Barry and I have not done as good of a job of that. We have uncovered some things, and we've had some additional business with life insurance and that we're finding. This year, we were the beneficiaries of inheriting a couple of decent accounts that were paying us some revenue, and I think that was kind of giving us a false sense of achievement, like, oh, look, things are good and business is up, but it wasn't because we were bringing in a lot of new business. We have brought in zero relationships that were $2 million and plus so far this year. I've had two existing clients bring in blocks over $2 million, but we have not had any new introduction relationships greater than $2 million this year. So we haven't had a ton of new relationships this year at all. Now, the cop-out answer is, oh, the market's good and people aren't moving around much, and I'm sure it's playing into it some, but we understand this because we have not developed any new centers of influence that are of quality. So we're trying to, the three of us decided that we're going to make a concerted effort to ask all of our clients on the next call who their CPA and who their lawyers are. And we are going to kind of build a database of who's working with who. And if we have any CPAs or attorneys where we share multiple clients, we're going to be reaching out and saying, hey, we know you work with these two people. They think you're great. We'd like to meet and try to do your process for see if we can, forge a relationship with some of these people, because we need fresh blood on our referral list. That's going to be what takes us to this next level. But right now we've been fat and happy this year. We haven't been working real hard. It's really,
we've been complacent.
Summarize. Yeah.
Okay.
For a bit.
Well, one of the things you can do, first of all, whenever I felt that way, it was because I didn't have a compelling goal. So whenever I was not if I was not performing at my peak in terms of my physical capabilities, meaning I was slacking off in my workouts and things, it's because I didn't have a goal. Okay? And so I'd sign up for a marathon, or I'd do a triathlon, or I'd sign up to hike Kilimanjaro, or you don't have to do those crazy things, but that's what you guys need. You need something that is going to get you moving, that's bigger than you, and that's more important than you, and that gets you up in the morning. And
a goal, I would think that we would need a goal both from a business standpoint and outside of business standpoint. Is that what you're saying?
Well, but yeah, because it's goal setting is a habit, and lack of goal setting is also a habit.
Okay.
And so,
I mean, we talked about a goal from a financial standpoint this year, which we are on track for. However,
meaning $2 million in revenue.
Yeah. But as we get to the end of the year and we start talking about next year and different things, where do that'll be interesting to kind of put that together, as well as I know Ryan's been talking about goals. I don't know if you're, get out of the office more, play more golf, lose 10 pounds, all of the above, that's kind of been it.
Yeah, losing 10 pounds is not a goal. Okay?
It's a dream.
It's sort of a stepping stone on the way to something important. I mean, you gotta make something that, when I'm doing hikes, there's no day off. If you're going to do a hike and you're going to climb a mountain and you're doing it with other guys, you can't have a day off. Because if you do, you're not going to be ready for the hike, and then you're going to let the other guys down, and I just would never do that. So why don't you guys do that? I mean, if you want a physical goal, do a hike together. Do something that you can do together that would be very challenging. You don't want to run a marathon, hike a mountain, do something that's really hard that you all have to get ready for. Run a 5K, whatever everybody can physically, they're physically capable of doing, get ready to do it. Do it for charity, sign up, pay your money, and then go and do it. Okay? And that will be good for the team. Because you'll all be talking about it, your energy will be up, and that will be healthy for you. Now, at the same time, why don't you make a goal of, when we hit this, we're going to start Family Foundations. Okay, or community foundations, and we're all going to deposit $100,000 into our family foundation. And then we're going to,
that's not anything realistic and achievable in the near term. Sorry.
make it something that
I've got little kids and in-laws to worry about right now.
Hey, I got jobs before that didn't happen.
What happens if we do 10?
Yeah, I mean, what happens?
We each do 3,300 and put it in, and it's 10 grand that we can put to whatever.
I was thinking about as part of like a team branding that maybe we started a list of our client charities, and then we kind of selected a couple each year to give back to, and like kind of as a way that clients know that we're interested in what they're doing. I don't know what the rules are around that in terms of like, I know like we can't drop like 10,000 of our favorite client's charity, or I don't know how we may be able to, I don't know, but
I can't. Of course you can. Of course you can.
You can?
You can do that. Of course you can. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's no conflict there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that, well, think about it, right? You you focus on the heart, you know, there's a heart ball, and there's a, you gotta buy a table for that, and then you donate $10,000 at the event. I mean, come on, that's great. What's wrong with that? We're all surgeons, right? All heart surgeons. You get on the board, you give a lot of money, you know, they think you're a hero, you make, they all become clients. That's the way you do business.
That's the way smart people do business.
No, that's exactly. You know, make, put together, let's say a $30,000 or $40,000, budget. Okay?
Annually?
To market it. Yeah, annually. And get, and use it for advertising, for charitable community giving, and other things. And to get high visibility, take ads out in the magazine, have the magazine then write articles about how great you guys are, and you, you get your brand moving. I mean, what business that you know of takes 100% of the revenues out of it? None. What's your R&D budget? You know, what's your marketing budget? What's your advertising budget? Zero? What? Come on. So you put the money in, then you're going to be like, okay, guys, we put, you know, we each put in $10,000. Now we're talking about $30,000 we're spending this year on advertising, marketing, charitable giving, plus whatever I do individually. I better get moving here. Now, will that do it? No, but it's a good start. I hear some sighs, but not a lot of energy. Come on!
I mean, this is stuff that, that we know we need to do. It goes back to putting together the brochure. If we're out in the community more doing stuff, I don't see a downside, guys. Yeah, we're going to have to go into our pockets, but we're going to have to go into our pockets regardless. We're going to have to spend money to grow, but if we can spend money and grow the right way, that's ultimately what we're trying to do instead of beating our heads against the wall. Trust me, I'm not a big fan of spending money, but we're spending money in the right ways, doing the right activities, doing the right...
So, at what level do you think it? So clearly, we don't want to stroke a $100 check to 500 organizations.
No.
So, what level of commitment do you think we need to do to get noticed somewhere? And I think we have to do it individually, because if we did it as a team, it would be a clear red flag or clear, you know, we're in it for the business kind of thing, right?
No, not at all.
No what?
They don't care where the money comes from. They just want the money.
So if we did it under the Boca Raton group, now I would also say if we do the hospital, Ryan, Boca Raton Hospital, and we come in with $5,000, that doesn't mean shit. But if we do a helping hands, you know, Boca Helping Hands, the food bank, and it's $5,000, that's going to get noticed. So it depends on the charity that we're talking about.
Right.
Okay. But I also think that it has to be a charity, that either you or Mary Beth or Barry or Missy has an affinity to. It can't just be a charity because we ran out of time. It's got to be something that...
Yeah. For us to do the art museum, it doesn't make sense.
Correct. So, and that's not saying anything new, but it's got to be something that's in, you know, ultimately important for you. It can also be, quite frankly, the, your kids go to Advent, right?
Yes.
Advent Lutheran. It can be something as you getting on a board for Advent Lutheran. And it may be the master board, it may be a subcommittee board, or
it's
some function that they're doing.
There's some competition there, and I don't think me sitting on the church board is a good idea personally.
Okay. I'm just saying something like that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the big, the big thing.
I should probably do something with, like, Nova, I guess, or something like that because of the having both kids going there now. Yeah.
And I guarantee you that there's going to be competition at every single one of these boards that we're looking
at. Yeah.
Okay? Which is not necessarily a bad thing. When I actually spoke to the executive director, because we went and... He's like, look, I want to make sure you get what you want out of this. You know, you're going to get business. I said, yeah, we'll get business just in spite of itself, but we'll get business. And he's like, yeah, that's true. You know, you're, the way I am. So he's like, yeah, that'll happen. But
it takes time,
just being seen, get out there. That's why doing something that you have an affinity to. But there's other insurance agents. There's other, guys from Merrill Lynch. There's other people that, you know, are from John Hancock and just life insurance guys, too, let alone, you know, ING has people there as well.
Guys, don't worry about the competition. Your only competition is you. Okay? There's no competition. Nobody's prospecting. Nobody's out in the market. The reality is, if you're working, you never see the competition. They're never there. It's just, you're over-dramatic. You're making it too dramatic. You're coming up with all the reasons it's not going to work. You could join any of these boards.
Have you seen people have success in any particular areas? Like, for instance, I have atrial fibrillation, so I could get into something with cardiac stuff. I have a medical background or working knowledge of biology and chemistry and all that stuff. Like, should I try to get involved in something like that? Or should I, you know, like, my grandfather did the honor flight, and I kind of promised him I would get involved with that, with sort of flying the veterans up to D.C. for recognition trips and stuff.
The answer to those two questions is yes.
Okay.
Look, you guys have been through the course. You've heard me tell you these things. Plato said, learning is remembering. One of the things that I suggest you do is go back every week and watch the videos. Okay? Because the questions you're answering are all answered on the videos.
Okay.
And when you're going through, the problem is when you're going through Supernova, you're so busy getting organized and doing Supernova that you can't hear me. And so you don't remember what I taught you. And so now we have to go and learn it over again. The reality is, we as human beings can only process one idea at a time. We can only hold one thought in our brain. And the difference between getting a good idea and putting it to work is this vast chasm of mind tricks that your brain does to prevent you from doing it. So what you have to do is you have to build a bridge across that chasm by doing one little step at a time. I can give you the greatest idea in the world, but you have to take the first step, and then the next step, and then you have to follow up. The advantage of teams is that you don't have to look around for accountability. You've got it built in if you use it. But if you don't use it, then the accountability of teams is completely wasted. So here's what you do. You have a meeting every week, and you work on one acquisition topic. You watch the video, and then you spend half an hour and talk about what you're actually going to do. And then follow up a week from then and say, did we do it? And then another week, did we do it? What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? Until you get it done. Okay, so what did I tell you about charitable giving? What did I tell you about enthusiastically endorsed lists? I told you to ask all your clients, can you enthusiastically, not who's your CPA. We don't care about who their CPA. We do, but we don't. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Why do you ask that? Because you're going to get two opportunities out of that, potentially. If they say he's okay, that's not an opportunity. You at least get the name. But when they say, oh, he's fabulous, then he goes on the enthusiastically endorsed list. And when you get multiples of those, just like you said, then you go see him. And then he becomes a center of influence. But just as important is the answer, no, I hate him, I want a new one. Because that's how we get our list of people that we're going to refer to. Remember, our goal in prospecting is to help the other people, right? So when working with centers of influence, our goal is to get them introductions. It's not to get introductions for us. It's to give them introductions, because we're a connector. So what you do is when they say, no, I hate him, I want a new one, you go, would you be open to an introduction from our enthusiastically endorsed list? And they go, what's that? Well, we ask all our clients this question, and when multiple say they like the guy, we interview him, and then we put him on the list of enthusiastically endorsed CPAs. And we'll give you three names on that list, and you choose which one you want to do business with. And they say, well, which one would you pick? And we say, well, this one gets the most enthusiastic endorsements, but sometimes it's just personality, so we want you to interview all three. And then you set up the interviews. Okay, don't let them. You do it. You set up the interviews. And then they meet with them, and they decide. Now, you've made three CPAs happy then. Even if they're not chosen, they're happy. Because you're doing what your job is, which is to give introductions. Remember, the rule of reciprocity says, whatever we give, we're going to get in return. Okay? Anger gets anger. Love gets love. Energy gets energy. So we're going to get energy back when we give it, and we're going to get introductions when we give them. All right, so that's, and I've got a great idea on that, by the way. My suggestion is you get your enthusiastically endorsed group together once a quarter, and you host a cocktail party for them, and you have them get to know each other. Okay? And that will, you'll then be called the connectors in town. And that's what you want as your mantra. This guy knows everybody. He'll connect you to the right people. He's really good for your business. Okay?
You mean get all the CPAs and attorneys together?
No. Get all... See, you've got one person. Remember, there's three stages of this. You have your three people, right? You've got your primary who's up at bat. You've got your guy that's on deck. And then you've got your guy that's in the dugout.
Right.
Those are the three introductions you give. The guy at bat, you meet with monthly. The guy on deck, you meet with quarterly. And the guy in the dugout, you meet with annually. Okay. Now, there is another good idea.
Sorry. Who do you want us to get together quarterly with all of our enthusiastic endorsements?
What do you do with them?
You said we get all of them together quarterly for a cocktail party. Who's that?
That's all the number one person, the person who's up at that. Okay.
So the attorney, the CPA, the doctor, the long guy, the Uber driver, the whatever it is.
The commercial real estate, the residential realtor, the concierge travel agent, the concierge doctor, whoever. Now, when a person joins the group, you send them a welcome letter, just like they were joining a club. And then you also send a letter to the other members of the group welcoming the new initiated person.
We're anointing them.
You're anointing them. This becomes a very prestigious club. They've just joined. See, everybody's working, but nobody's organized. Okay, so here's the second really good idea. I want you to go back and I want you to look at the last 10 clients that you opened and figure out who referred them to you. And then establish the date that the account was opened. Now in each folder you should have a list of introductions given and introductions received. That goes for the client and for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put down the date of the introduction and then the date the account was opened. On the anniversary of the date that you opened the account, you put it in Outlook as an annually recurring item. And then you call the client and tell them that this is the anniversary of when you opened, we began our relationship, and I just wanted to call and say, thank you for the business. It's been 4 years. And they will really appreciate that. And the second thing is you call the person that referred them and say, thank you. This is the fourth anniversary of doing business with Rob Knapp. Confidentiality, of course, precludes me from saying too much, but I will tell you, it's a great relationship. It's a great fit, and we really appreciate what you did in referring them to us. Now, think about the person that just got that thank you call. Okay, we're all ready to send, you know, crystal and tickets and all kinds of things when we first get a referral, but How about 4 years later calling them and every year thanking them? So what's on their mind then? See, they've made you happy because they like you and they trust you and they believe in you. They made you happy, but they also made their other friend happy. So they made two friends happy. Now, in life, that's a really rare thing. Okay? And so they want to repeat that because we're pleasure seekers. We want to repeat behaviors that are rewarding. So out of his mouth will probably come, you know what? I've got another guy for you. And you know how much money that costs you? It costs you nothing. And you know, no one that I've ever talked to is doing that. No one, ever. And that's why I say you have no competition if you do these things right. No one has ever said, oh, I'm doing that. And yet, when you think about it, it's such a natural thing. Like, why didn't I think of that? Okay, so here's the deal. I can give you this idea, but you know what? It's worth zero unless you do something about it. And you know when you do something about it? Immediately after the call. I got a D in chemistry when I took it the first time in high school. I took it in summer school, and I went to class, and then I did my homework immediately after. And I got an A. Okay? And it taught me a great lesson. The time to take action is immediately after the class. I did it because I wanted to go out and play, and I could only do that in my own mind if I had my homework done. I wanted to go play tennis or golf or tennis. So after this call, get together and do it. Take the action. Write down the 10 names of the accounts that you just got, that you most recently got. Where did they come from? Who referred them? And what was the date of opening their account? And then put it in Outlook. When it goes in Outlook, then you're done. Then you can go out and play tennis.
That's a fairly painless process we should be able to do, guys.
Right. Now, I will tell you probably 10% of the people that I give this idea to use it. Why? Because it's a bad idea? Because it won't work? No, because they get dizzy.
All right. So on that note, I'm reading my email. It's like, call this client. This client wants to talk tomorrow. Like, everyone who calls with problems is like the smaller clients. At what point, this is another cliff diving issue that we're having trouble with, or, you know, but like, we don't have a huge head count. So, for instance, you know, the number 70 sticks in my mind is, that's what you're saying, a lot of your people find their optimal client load is about 70. But right now I'm working with 60 people, okay? So I'm working with less than 70. Are you of the mindset of I should work with fewer, like, than 60 if, you know, like, you know, where's that magical number? Like, or not the magical number, but like...
Now, what do you... And what do you think I'm going to say?
He's going to say, work smarter than that. If they meet the minimum, or if they're a center of influence, or...
Right. Don't keep calling up. Look, I'd rather have you have 40 clients and have more time to prospect than have 60 clients where they're wasting their time. Value your time. It's money.
All right. Next question. I'm down in Fort Lauderdale today. All right. I'm going to be speaking at a conference on Friday in front of 100 other financial advisors, and I'm meeting with the other people I'm talking to. They're a high-level team. They were part of a super team out of New Jersey, and they split off from that super team, and there's two guys and a third guy, and they're like a sports and entertainment team.
Yeah.
The third guy is a young kid who runs all the portfolios and all that stuff. And the other two are basically just out about prospecting and meeting with clients all the time. You are of the impression that prospecting and being out and about and bringing new clients is the number one goal of our practice. But we also have to deal with performance and deal with the day-to-day management and trying to scale the practice as well. And that's the other area I think that we kind of struggle with, where all three of us are still kind of doing a bit of everything. And, like, this team, this guy that runs the portfolios, like, doesn't deal with clients really unless they bring him in to talk to somebody. He just, like, runs all the money and does that. And the other two guys basically just do all the prospecting and manage the relationships. You know, we're not set up that way. So, I guess my question is like, we've moved more towards discretionary management, but are you of the impression that we should try to move our entire practice towards scalable discretionary stuff to free up even more time to prospect? And that way we're not doing the allocations of different types with every account and relearning everything to go over. Just kind of, where do you see our team being able to land at a happy medium right now? Because I don't think, you know, I think we're all kind of repeating efforts across the board.
Well, let me say this, okay? It's an obvious answer, but not quite as obvious. The obvious answer is more scalability, more efficiency equals more productivity. Okay. But there are things like mortgages and long-term care and other things that are not discretionary transactions that you can do to add incremental revenue.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to managing money, I believe that you should manage some money. Okay. And I believe that, but you should do it on a discretionary basis.
FRPM model.
Exactly. I think that brings, assuming you're any good at it, if you're no good at it, then don't do it. But if you're any good at it, and you can outperform the indexes, and you're pretty, and you think you're pretty smart, then do it. And market it. If you're no good at it, get out of it and let somebody else do it. You know, if you're too emotional or you get sucked in by this or that, then let somebody else run it, you know. But if you can do it, I think it's a marketing tool.
You've got to get tough with it, yeah.
Yeah, and most of the private banking, quote, private banking teams, the ultra high net worth teams, have an analyst on the team and they run money. Okay, on a discretionary basis. And they have their own twist on it, right?
Something to distinguish themselves from the herd, so to speak.
Yes, something where they have a sell indicator, they've got a buy indicator, they have, you know, they write options, they do this, they do that, whatever it is that makes them they, you know, in the market, they feel unique. And they sell it well, and it brings in business for them. But I think you do need to, so, you know, at what point do you bring on an analyst? You guys don't need an analyst, Jeff. The question is, can you take off one hat and put one on? That's the key. But the answer is time blocking. The answer is taking a hat off and holding my calls and letting me work, and not messing with emails on operations when you're in marketing time. When you're in sales and marketing time, nothing interrupts you. Okay? So you manage in time block so that you can control your time. You should be welcoming your calls with your clients. And if you're not, then you think about the energy you're putting into the planning. One of the teams said to me at the beginning of the week, you know, we want to do a deeper dive into these clients. We need to, you know, focus on things that are really important to them, like their charitable giving and what they're in estate planning. And I said, All right, so how would that be handled under Supernova? He didn't know. And I said, it's the director of implementation's job to keep the energy up in the monthly calls and to have the 24-month schedule, right? The 24-month schedule should bring energy. If you don't like the topics and you don't think they're penetrating enough, then put in topics that you think make sense. But put some time into your meetings with your directors, each one presenting a thoughtful array of ideas in their particular area. So if you're getting lack of creativity in implementation in your 24-month calendar, then change directors of implementation and put somebody else in there that you think has more energy around that idea. Because the structure is good. The structure of having an agenda, making the phone calls, and sending them executive summary is brilliant, okay? What's not brilliant is having boring calls. What you need is energy around good topics that are going to give you and your clients enthusiasm about picking up the phone. So asking good questions like, how would you like to pass on how would you like to use your money to pass on your legacy of values to your children? What do you mean? How would I do that? And then you fill them in on how they do that. How do you use your money to pass on your values to your children? By creating a family foundation that focuses, or a community foundation that focuses in on helping the causes that you're passionate about and teaching your children to give and be philanthropic. So that, you know, there's a million topics out there that can be really exciting and interesting for wealthy people. So go back and look at the five-star model, which is the responsibility of each person. And then have a meeting where you get together and each one has a plan for advancing that particular area. Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. Okay, so you have your roles and responsibilities. You should have a business plan for each one of those, and you should meet weekly and discuss those things.
Well, what are they again? Planning, implementation, marketing?
Well, the brand management, which is Supernova and operations, and then leadership. So you're failing in two areas, marketing and leadership, okay? And brand management and implementation. I don't know if you're failing in planning. I don't know. You haven't mentioned it. But each topic that we've discussed has fit into one of those areas, and you're saying, to me, my energy is really low in what I'm doing. Therefore, I'm not excited about these areas. To me, that means we're failing, not failing in terms of reaching our goals, because you said you're reaching your goals. We're failing in terms of motivating ourselves and getting ourselves excited. And most of the time, it's because we're not meeting and we're not holding ourselves accountable. We're just accepting each other and going, you know what, you're a good guy, I like you, and you're doing okay. No, don't do that to each other. Teams are good about accountability. Bust each other's asses and say, you know, you're in charge of marketing. Hold us accountable. You're in charge of leadership. What's wrong? The whole team is just floundering. Lead. Hold us accountable. You're in charge of planning. How many plans have we done? Are we on track? Do we even know? That's what teams are good for. And if you're not doing that for each other, remember, we're pleasure seekers and we avoid confrontation. To be high achievers, we have to be the opposite. We have to have deferred gratification, and we have to hold each other accountable. And we have to be confrontational. In a nice way. I love you. Did you do your job? I did mine. Did you do yours? That's what these monthly calls are for, guys. You're not the only ones. You're normal. Okay, what we don't want to be is normal. We don't want to be average. To be extraordinary, we have to be obsessed.
One of my longtime clients died the other day. He had like $1.25 million with us. It's going to be split between the two daughters. What do I do here? They're in New York. They're not even local.
That means they don't meet your minimums, right?
Correct. They do not meet our minimums.
They don't have other monies, or?
Well, that's exactly the question. You know, do they, are they doctors?
One,
are they CEOs of companies?
One does and one doesn't. And I feel an extreme emotional attachment to look after these girls if they want me to, because that's what their father always, you know, I kind of.
Then they become butlers, okay? If they have no more money and you want to keep them, make them a butler.
Right. What, there's opportunity with one.
Any 401k rollovers there, Ryan, or anything like that? Potential down the road? Was any of them?
The one that lives by your brother makes a lot of money, but they also spend a lot of money. The other ones are retired teachers, and they basically have the pensions, and that's it.
Yeah. Those could be good centers of influence, though, for tournaments. If, you know.
Well, I may want to get you more involved in those relationships.
Yeah, I think because only because of me being up, it might be worth. I think we can sort
they
of.
They live three doors from David.
Yeah, I know. I know what they're up. Yeah, and David, I think David knows them.
Yeah, they right. played together. They're both named Addy or some shit.
So then I think you got your answer right there. All
right.
You know.
Yeah, Rob.
Hand that one off to me, Ryan, and I'll work that one since I'm the one who's up there. There's no reason for you to make a trip up there when I'm up there all the time anyway for other clients, you know?
Yeah, Rob, I think we have the vision of what we want to be a little bit. More so, but I think, you know, I have a picture here of this idea, chasm, success, and building a bridge, and I think that's where we're kind of struggling, you know, like we've got this idea of what we are and who we want to be in our minds, but we're not there.
Oh, true.
And, you know, we're not working hard enough, and we're not working smart enough, and we are wasting so much time, like, literally, I don't even know what we're doing with ourselves. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Email is a big trap. I had a gal this morning that said, you know what? I time block my email now. I don't look at it.
Yeah. I'm thinking about doing that.
Her goal is to get 8 appointments with new clients, new prospects, follow up on prospects, 8 appointments a week. not with clients. Okay, so she had 7 this week, and she's very proud of herself. And I asked her how she did it. And she said, I stopped paying attention to my email until I get my work done.
That's kind of tough, though, with...
Well, you do it in the beginning. Do it in the beginning. And then, you know, when 9 o'clock comes, do your work till 11, and then look at it again. What if you're in a two-hour meeting? The world would not end, okay?
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Fisher has that email message up at all times. It says, I check my email at 11 and 3, and if it's an emergency, you need to reach out to my assistant or something. You know, it's annoying to get that thing kicked back to me all the time. I hate that email message, so I don't know if I want to set that up.
I wouldn't do that. I'd just force yourself to focus on what's important, which is making client contacts and setting up appointments or prospecting. I mean, guys, you've got to do that. You can't get sucked into this vortex of goddamn checking stupid emails all day. It's a time suck.
Yeah, I'm like obsessive with it. It's a problem. It really is.
Right.
Yeah, with email. I found myself checking my email and, like, not even having an email, just, like, constantly checking it. Like, it's like a nervous tick or something.
Our phones are such addictions. That's a problem. And then the phones are the,
Yeah, we need to lock our phones in the drawers or something, too.
That may not be a bad thought. Even for me.
I mean, do it. Look at what the most... Here's what you guys need to do. Do this seriously. I hope you get together weekly. Watch a video together. Follow up. We've got the answers to every question you've given me today is on those videos and what I've taught you.
Just rewatch the videos.
You've got to rewatch the videos. You've got to go back and the stuff, we haven't gone back into the social. Remember I told you that your commitment to a community service, I've got 7 webcasts on each one of these topics, on acquisition, okay? On exactly how do you develop your social networking inside your community development. What do you do? You become president of the organization, and it's a step-by-step process and how you do it exactly. So it's in there. I'm not frustrated because I deal with this all the time, but you guys sincerely sound like you want to do this and get better. The answers are there. Okay?
We seriously do. I just think we have to give ourselves a hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves how committed we are to doing this. This is the issue. We all want to do it. I mean, shit, I want to be, you know, I want to be built like a professional, you know, football player. I want that. You know, I sincerely want that, but I'm not willing to put in the work to get there right now. And that's where I think, you know, we have to do some soul searching and figure out what, you know, okay, yeah, we want it, but how bad do we want it? You know,
well, set goals that are meaningful for you. The idea of looking... Boss never was important to me, but being able to climb a 20,000-foot mountain was important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I got skinny and I got strong in order to reach my goal. So figure out the goal because, you know, looking buff is not a goal. Okay? That's like somebody else's dream. Okay? Unless you're going to be a bodybuilder.
No, I was just throwing something out there.
I know. So go back to our first discussion, which was find some goals that are meaningful. You know, giving $30,000 away or putting $40,000 into a marketing budget and putting it to work. You know, that's a step towards a goal of being the team that you want to be. So what are the intermediate steps we need to take in order to do that and turn those into goals, which are, you know, if you have if you have to give yourself a reward for it, great. Give yourself an award. You know, take a team trip together. If you reach this, we're gonna go to on a cruise together as a team if we do this. Okay, or we're gonna, you know, do something fun together. If we reach this goal, and make them quarterly goals, and then go out to dinner as a team of your spouses or something. You know, find something that is fun for you guys and that will motivate you and keep you on track. It's a game. Make it a game. Okay, why do you think we call this a game board? It's a game.
Yeah.
Turn it into a game. I used to have to compete with other guys. That was my way of doing it. I would turn it into a game. I'd say, I'm going to get 8 appointments this week. How many are you going to get? I'm going to get 9. Okay, I'll beat you. We'll bet a bottle of scotch on it. Okay, and I'd kill them. I needed those things. That was just me. So you got to know who you are and what motivates you. Okay?
Okay.
You're on track, and I appreciate the disclosure and the questions because they're all good. And look, you've made more changes in 1 year than the average team makes in their whole careers, 30 years. So don't beat yourself up too much, but get yourself back on track. The key to success is not the fact that you're on track all the time. It's when you get off track, how long you spend off track. That's the key. Get back on track. Everybody gets off, but it's how long do you spend off? Okay, so you gotta have some triggers that get you back on quicker than my fall. Okay, you gotta get it quicker. It's gotta be weekly that gets you back on track. You can be off track for a week, but not for a month, and not for 2 months. Figure out the triggers to get yourself back on track, and those to me are the meetings where you're holding yourself accountable, not meetings where you're just sitting there talking about how great you are. Okay?
Okay.
So what were the three big takeaways from today's call?
Reinvigorate, or remotivate, call each other out. Apart from holding accountability and things like that, and recognize when you're off track.
Mine's we need to set meaningful long-term goals. We have to start effectively time blocking so we can wear the different hats that we need to wear to run our practice right.
Put your phone down.
And we need to get back on track with the 5-star stuff. Also with the charitable. I've got my whole fucking page covered, honestly. Like, it looks like,
I think the other issue that we're having is deciding, Ryan, about letting go of some clients. I think we're still struggling like crazy with that because we don't want to give up the revenue.
But that's irrelevant to us doing what we should be doing as well.
It's less about the revenue. At this point, it's really about the... Exactly. Like if we had, like, a junior person on our team that was great, or, like, you know, someone we could still kind of be around, you know, it's just, like, we don't want to send someone off into the wilderness is the problem. You know, it's like, that's what's killing us, you know?
Well, find that person, then. That's a supernova... challenge. That's all that is. Everybody goes through that. Where are we going to put the accounts where we have somebody we trust? Find that person. That's all. Find that person. Don't say, I can't do it. Say, I need to find a person that I can trust so that I don't feel like I'm sending these people off into the wilderness.
We may need to spend some more time with Mike and see if he's, if we're able to continue to move forward with that, too.
There's plenty of people out there that want your the people that you're reassigning. You just
I know Patty does, guys.
Everybody does. That's the quite frankly, I still tell you that's the least of our concerns. Our biggest concern is we need to move forward and not worry about where we're not moving forward at all. That's what needs to happen more so than whether we give a client away or keep the client.
Yeah, I guess at this point, if we had more free time, we'd still be fucking around and not doing what we need to do. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I need more free time to jack off from my office and do nothing. You know, that's what I need. I want to do nothing all day long.
You guys are good. All right, you're in a good place. Now get together and hash it out and make it concrete. And remember, immediately after this, these 10 clients, remember that? We're going to write down.
Nobody's. I'm in the car. Ryan's out of there. I think it's going to have to be for tomorrow morning, first thing, though, that we do it because we can't. Nobody's together right now.
Okay.
We don't need to be together to do that either.
Yeah, Larry, you could probably get Christine to pull that information out for us so that we can.
Just open, run a report based on when accounts were open in the last 6 months, I guess.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
So that's your test, okay? That's step one of your renaissance, getting that project done. Okay?
That's right.
One thing at a time.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay? Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.